themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves." I do apologize. I'm reading to you the gospel that would have been the harvest. And so you were wondering, why am I reading that one? It's on. We're not doing very well this morning. Right. I'm on now. Right. We will do today's gospel reading. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." This is the gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Yes, harvest is next week. You've had a taste of next week's gospel reading. The two readings we've had this morning, I thought, were quite apt, because they're the pointed readings for today. And as Susie knows, I've sort of quickly changed my sermon and things. But when I read the two readings this week, I mean, in that Timothy reading, very apt, because it says quite near the beginning of it, intercessions and thanksgivings shall be made for everyone, for kings and all. Well, how apt that is, they should mention kings in this week of royal mourning and the accession of Charles. And then, of course, in the gospel reading that I've just read, it talks about serving one master, and I think in anybody's life, our Queen was such a brilliant example of Christianity, and how she served God and served us through God during her long reign. And it was because I was thinking, while we've been away, and I was sort of putting these thoughts together, that, of course, I've only known one monarch during my life, the Queen, and I was thinking back of all the events that I can remember of the Queen over my years, and I went back to when I was at school and the royal visits and all that sort of thing, and how I used to spend my time. So yesterday morning, when I was sort of topping and tailing what I was going to say to you this morning, I was thinking of how I used to spend my Saturday mornings years ago. Because that gospel reading is quite a difficult one to get your head around if you read it again when you get home. But I was thinking about how I used to spend my Saturday mornings, and it certainly wasn't like yesterday putting a sermon together or writing reflections. Often when I was a little lad, and I'm guessing that there's quite a few of you would be like the same, I'd go down to the cinema. I've got a thumbs up already. Yeah, we used to go down to the cinema. I mean, in my case, it was down there in Stoke. And so if you're a Stokey, I mean, I was thinking back, it was the Asaldo or the Danilo. Then I was trying to think of what the ones are were in Newcastle. Heather came up with a few, so you might remember them. Can anybody remember the cinemas that there were in Newcastle? There was the Rex Rio, the Savoy. So you can obviously tell where my wife spent. The Plaza, I can't remember the Plaza, and the Roxy. So those were some of the cinemas. But so I used to go down, particularly to the Asaldo in Stoke with my little mates when I was young. I was thinking about the Queen, because the only way in those days that we knew what the royal family was doing and on all those foreign tours that used to go on was Pathé News. Do you remember Pathé News? Yeah. And that was in between the films, and invariably on a Saturday morning the films would be some old B-movie or with cowboys and Indians in it. But we always used to look forward to the Pathé News in between so we could catch up what was going on. And very often it was either the Queen and Prince Philip or Princess Margaret on some foreign Commonwealth tour. But as I've just said, you know, very often those films on a Saturday morning were the old B-movies of perhaps, you know, cowboys and Indians. And I started thinking back, you know, the Wells Fargo stagecoach galloping down the Wild West of America. And then that stagecoach gets ambushed. And the driver gets shot by the bandits, or he gets a bow and arrow at him from the Indians. And he's slumped over and he drops the reins, so he can't steer the coach anymore. There's a chance of safety, you know, if those horses keep together. You must remember films like this. But they dash along the rocky road there, and their panic in their harness, and the harness snaps, and those horses career off in different directions. One horse goes off to the left, the other dashes to the right, and now all hopes for those in the stagecoach are lost. The stagecoach there is heading for disaster, and it soon crashes to the ground. All those passengers inside tumble out. You know, you can imagine broken bones, heads concussed, and all the luggage strewn across the hillside or in the desert, wherever they are. They're never going to reach their destination now. Those horses, if you think about it, could be straight out of that gospel reading this morning. They are going in the opposite direction, as if they had two masters. The reins had broken, off they go, left and right, resulting in chaos. And as I said at the start, this is quite a difficult parable to preach about. Think how puzzling this whole reading is. Does Jesus really expect us to admire the dishonesty of this steward, you know, that he gave the sack to? It may be that our difficulties can be explained by a mistranslation. Oh, you know, it's the Hebrew said one thing, but we've translated it into English and it means something else. Sometimes we do translate those ancient Jewish laws in strange ways, and we can no longer unravel them. But however confusing this gospel passage is, if we realize that in Luke's gospel that came from, it comes straight after the story of the prodigal son. Did you have that last week? Can't remember. But it does. It comes just after the prodigal son, but just before the story of Lazarus at the gate. And it's clear that the part to concentrate comes at the very end. What Jesus is saying, you cannot serve both God and money. You can't place your trust in two horses, if you like, going back to my stagecoach analogy. You can't trust in two horses that are driving in different directions. If we try to, the coach that's in our life will just overturn and crash like it does in that B movie. All three of these stories from Luke's gospel, the prodigal son, today's, and the Lazarus one, are stressing how our worldly concern for rank and wealth prevents our full access to God's love. Because if you think about it, God's world runs on quite different rules to our present age. God's economy is a compassionate one, where we should always be prepared for the unexpected. Reading that passage from Luke puts us in a very uncomfortable place on the boundary between honesty and dishonesty. And if you read it again, Jesus seems to compare us with very disreputable characters indeed. At first reading, we may shudder and read swiftly on. I was tempted to. But perhaps we should pause a while and consider whether at times we don't behave like that steward in that parable and manipulate the system for our own benefits. Just think how faithful we are in the very little things in our lives, like, do we visit a sick friend enough? Think how trustworthy we are in little things, perhaps getting a piece of work in by the deadline. Or contemplate maybe how honest we are in little things. Do we ever just tell a little white lie for our own convenience or to protect our own dignity? That parable and that gospel reading really made me think about my life. Contemplate how we squander God's grace sometimes and we tarnish the reputation of his disciples, which we are now in this modern age. So in tussling with this parable, the message it gives us is to serve only God and to serve him to the utmost of our capabilities. Because remember, he never fails us. Amen.